Thank you, Eric, Matt, Anna, and all of you. And we're going to dive into God's Word. A couple of very rich verses from Jude. Only one chapter. These are verses 22 and 23, the Word of the Lord. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So the experience of a TCC mom and her daughter really gives us an image as kind of an illustration of today's message focus. So I'm passing along to you a story I heard at the OCC Shoebox Celebration last Sunday. So this mom and her daughter were on their way to Trinity when they noticed a dog running. This was not an ordinary dog running, because the dog was running while dragging a leash. And that was a cue to them that, wait a second, this dog is clearly away from his owner and in danger of being hit by a car. So what they did was they stopped their car, got out, chased down the dog, successfully capturing the dog, and then having the presence of mind to figure out where might this owner be whose dog has gone off running while carrying the leash. And they found the place and the owner, and as they approached, the dog was pulling the leash toward the correct owner, and dog and owner were reunited, and the story ends with a happy ending. And how that relates to this message is that Jude urges believers in Jesus to contend for the faith, and as they do so, he reminds us that individually and together, we are looking for lost people. We are looking outward. We are looking for those who need the ministry of gospel mercy. And we're not sort of just kind of passively saying, oh, well, I hope that dog figures it out, that person finds their way back to God, their owner, but rather we are to be active in this, engaged in this, noticing people away from their owner around us who are in spiritual peril. And that's where we're going with today's message, to take action, sort of spiritually speaking, to stop the car, get out, run after those folks. Spiritually speaking, notice what's going on and say, hey, I wonder what step might be involved in helping this one find their owner, the Lord God himself. So we see this very clearly in Jude chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that the ministry of mercy is what we're called to. Mercy is what Jesus offers us. Mercy secured by his finished work on the cross. Mercy received in believing. And now we're going to consider today how we are ministers of mercy. That we are to be ministering to others and proclaiming mercy to others who need God's gospel mercy. Have mercy on those who doubt, Jude says. To others, show mercy. That word mercy, what does it mean? Mercy means God not giving us what we deserve. What do we deserve? It is judgment. And Jude has a lot to say about judgment. I think that's why mercy is used here, not love, which is the motive that is behind God giving us mercy, or not grace, which is the good blessings and benefits we receive that are undeserved. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve, which is judgment, and yet God gives us and those who receive Christ this mercy. The word mercy is used in verse 2 here in Jude. The word mercy again is used in verse 21. And I want to submit to you that all Bible mercy, true biblical mercy, mercy rightly understood, centers in Jesus Christ. Mercy is the mercy of the gospel of Jesus received by faith. And we're proclaiming the truth of Jesus so that others might truly receive him and respond to him. And if your kind of mercy that you think is mercy does not contain and hold to that gospel message, I would submit to you it's not mercy at all. It's really sort of like pretending everything's okay when it isn't okay. It's kind of watering things down and saying, well, I'm just going to be nice to you, and that's mercy. But true mercy always holds to and acknowledges that only Jesus saves. Any kind of overt message or subtle implication or by silence agreeing with that people are fine without believing in Jesus is not mercy at all. Because only Jesus truly saves, and Jude's understanding of mercy is this mercy that Jesus offers in the gospel. This is the mercy we proclaim. So the theme of the book of Jude is to stand and contend and continue in the faith. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. And I would submit to you, it is only by contending, only by standing, personally and together, that we can and do have a ministry of gospel mercy. But when we do stand and we do properly contend, we don't pass by those people that are in need of mercy, those people that are away from God. We notice and we take action. And so this is the message of our ministry, that is the gospel. This is the manner of our ministry. There is an overt kind of compassion and concern and engagement, creative patience, and a looking for how it is we might represent the mercy of God in a way that can minister to those that need his mercy as we contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Because we contend and stand in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. So today we're considering, as we move to the second to the last Sunday in this message series, the ministry of mercy as we contend for the faith in this era of denial, distortion, and deconstruction. This is so important. It's not just saying, oh, they're all wrong, they're all messed up, and then, like, oh, whatever, see if they figure it out. No, it's that we engage in mercy ministry to anybody who's missing and not holding to the gospel. And this is so important for us as believers, as Jude is now getting to, not just that we stand ourselves, but that we stand in a way that we're looking outward. Say, where are those people around me that need gospel mercy in this time of denial, distortion, and deconstruction of the faith once for all delivered? So here's where we're going today. Your ministry of gospel mercy, and that's in respect to and toward others, as a believer who stands, we're going to consider first the people who need gospel mercy. Jude has some specific words about the kind of people that need gospel mercy. And so these kind of wake us up to, okay, yeah, I know somebody maybe like that. Oh, I think I may know somebody like that. And I think I also maybe know somebody like that. That we notice. We don't just drive by those folks and like, oh, I don't really have time today to deal with all this stuff and that person and their need. We're noticing and we're looking and considering those people and how we might pray and engage and be used of God in ministry to them. Secondly, we're going to look at the kinds of actions of gospel mercy. This is so important. Mercy is not passive. Mercy involves action. And Jude has some important words here related to action. And then we're going to look, this is very important, is there's a caution here related to showing gospel mercy. This is so essential in our day, where so many people are so far from God and so dug in on so things that are so much against God, and yet we care for them and want to show them mercy. Here's an important caution in the engagement of mercy ministry to those that are opposing God and the things of God, and that caution is very important for us today. So we're going to hear and apply in verses 22 and 23 the word from Jude for how we as believers can and will, by the grace of God, be engaged in a ministry of gospel mercy to people around us who need it. And these verses have just some real vivid, I hope you noticed when we read, some real vivid verbs, some action words, and some real vivid images. And so let's just look at it once again and just notice the vividness of the verbs and of the images here in this text. Have mercy on those who doubt, the doubting ones. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Notice how active that is. What an image. They're in the fire, as it were, and you're snatching them out. To others, show mercy. Again, mercy. And all these, the mercy, have mercy, save, are in the Greek, they're present tense active words. They're very active commands. And not just once, not, there was a time that I did this. We keep doing this again and again and again. That's the force here. This is how we live our lives as believers. Show mercy, interesting, with fear. We're going to talk about that. With fear. Mixing your mercy with a bit of fear. A right kind of fear. And this is important. And then hating. We're not hating people, but we're hating something. We're hating even the garment stained by the flesh. We need to define that today as we unpack and apply these verses to our lives and Trinity. Are you with me on this? This is so important for ministry and for all of us who know Jesus as we stand to be engaged in our own personal gospel ministry of mercy and to be, as a church community, engaged in a gospel ministry of mercy. I can't help but think that, you know, that late nighter, that was just a great example of the ministry of gospel mercy. We could have said to those kids, hey, we're going to come up with the most boring event we can, and the most boring speaker we can, who's going to say a lot of true things and make you wake up at 5:30 in the morning, come to church, and we'll sit you down and we'll tell you a lot of stuff from this most boring speaker, and just a lot of true stuff, right? But no, but mercy says, no, we gotta frame this for the kids in a way that's connected and relates to them, and it's relational and fun, and yeah, and we're telling them the truth. That same kind of mentality is like, that's how we minister to people. That's how we minister to adults. We engage in the ministry of mercy. We proclaim the gospel truthfully, and we do so in a way where our manner of ministry reflects mercy. So let's look first at, we got to say this. Mercy, can everybody hear me on this? Mercy does not mean there is no judgment by God for sin and sinners. That's a lie. There is a judgment. And you say, Pastor Bruce, no, that's mean to talk about. No, that's no more mean than saying there is a cliff, don't go over it. To pretend there is no cliff is not mercy. That's not kind at all. So why do we talk about judgment? Because I don't want anybody to go over the cliff. I want them to see that there's a bridge across the cliff, which is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So mercy does not mean there is no judgment. And any ministry that denies judgment, implies that there's no judgment, agrees that there's no judgment, or by its denial or silence, pretends as if there's no such thing as judgment, is not a mercy ministry. So we emphasize mercy, but judgment is real, and mercy comes only one way, right? Mercy is not, well, everybody's boat is fine. Whatever your boat is, it works for you. Awesome, I love your boat. That's affirming you. I'm for you. No, every boat's got a hole in it, except one. The one of the Lord Jesus Christ who saves and gets us to the other side, right? So mercy is proclaiming that rescue comes only in Jesus. Mercy is holding on to that. Mercy is engaging people with that truth. And of course, our manner reflects mercy too. What do I mean by that? We relate to people with the compassion and the patience and the flexibility and the compassion that mercy calls for. That's consistent with mercy, but not to deny the message or come with a different message, because that wouldn't be true mercy. So many people around us are so broken, so much living in defiance of God, that you just look at their life and you say, wow, that's somebody off their leash. He or she really needs a lot of God's mercy today. There is deep depression, anxiety, addiction, self-hatred. There's all kinds of things that are messed up in life, relationships, not being able to be responsible, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes this goes with denial of God, and sometimes people even believe in God, and that's kind of what their lives look like. And you look at a person like that and you say, well, okay, there's somebody who really needs some mercy. But I want to caution here. I want to give us an image. Imagine a young man who's responsible, has a good job, respects his parents, is a loyal friend, is considerate of women. In fact, he's engaged to be married to an equally kind, responsible, and emotionally stable woman. They plan to begin a family as soon as they're married. You may look at that guy and say, well, he's got it all together. He's fine. He doesn't need mercy. Let me tell you one more thing. He rejects Jesus Christ and has no interest in the things of God. Well, even though his life looks kind of put together and he feels fine, he needs mercy. Let's remember, both types need mercy, right? And you know what? It might be the mercy of God that a person like that comes against a life event that causes them to see they don't have life by the tail without God, that they actually need a Savior and have a sin condition that needs to be answered by the person and work of Jesus Christ. So it's the ministry of mercy to notice both types who need mercy as we point them to the Lord. And this is our ministry of gospel mercy. Now, I want us to remind us of one last thing here. Do you realize this? That we are first and foremost a person in need of mercy who has received mercy and still needs mercy. Every one of us is believers. Everybody in that camp with me? Because look with me at Jude chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus, who has saved us by his mercy and is keeping us by his mercy, is still at the end, when we stand before him, applying more mercy to us as this mercy culminates in our standing before him at his return. So all of this is rooted in the death of Jesus. We have received mercy and will receive mercy complete when we stand before Jesus. So that then kind of informs, this is the ministry I'm having toward that person or that person or that person. I'm just telling them about what Jesus has been giving me. I'm not standing above them like, okay, I've got it together and you're a mess. No, I'm one who's received mercy and is receiving mercy and still needs mercy, and I'm pointing you to the Savior who offers you mercy, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk then about people, the kinds of people who need gospel mercy. Do I have any dog lovers out there today? Okay, there's quite a few of them, right? So as I was telling about that dog, just answer me honestly now, were you like, oh man, I am so happy that that dog was found and the owner was found and everything was safe and sound? But I want us to imagine this, for all of us, dog lovers or not, we ought to be people lovers for sure. We ought to be people lovers who notice those made in the image of God, far from their creator, those who are walking away from God, those who are enslaved in sin, those who are headed toward judgment, except for the intervention of a merciful God and the message of the gospel. And we need to care and notice those types of people. Jude tells us of three types, representative of many other types, I would submit. And yes, I think Jude is envisioning they're kind of around the Christian community, but as he describes these, some of these are clearly either outside or moving toward being outside the Christian faith. So I don't think we should make a strong line to say this is not the church or this is the church. This is people. And oftentimes only God knows what's going on in the hearts of the people, but you see these types emerging, some who are doubting, Some who are stepping into the judgment fire, it's like, ooh, it doesn't look good at all. If they stay on that track, I think I know where they're probably going, which is judgment. Ooh, that sounds really severe. And then maybe even more severe, there's others who are so seriously stained by sin, it's like, wow, this is like, it just seems to have a grip on them. Their unbelief just seems to have a grip on them. And yet all are people that we are noticing that they need gospel mercy, and by the grace of God being called to kinds of actions that might extend a ministry of gospel mercy. And I liken this a little bit to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, where Paul talks about different types. We don't necessarily give the exact same treatment to each type. We may amp up the way we engage in certain situations. Let's consider these three types and some of the actions that may be called for. These may be people around the church, struggling believers, pretend believers, not yet believers, but still willing to come around. Or there may be people outside the Christian community. I don't think we should draw hard lines here. This is the kind of ministry of mercy we have to people that need the ministry of gospel mercy. Have mercy on those who doubt. There's one type. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. There's another type that are in the fire or stepping into the fire. And then to others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. There's something about these others, at least some of the others, that they're so entrenched in unbelief and rebellion and licentiousness that it's like, man, that seems even stronger than that they're needing to get snatched out of the fire. But even there, Jude says, show mercy. Figure out with God's wisdom and help what that mercy, gospel ministry of mercy looks like. And of course, the fire is a Bible image of God's eternal judgment. And right earlier in verse 7 of Jude, we see this. It's one of those images of being judged by God. These are those that are on that track of being judged by God if they don't turn and repent. And yet in all these cases, Jude is not saying it's too late. There's still the opportunity to repent. As long as a person still is alive on planet Earth, we're praying for and pleading for and ministering for a ministry of repentance. Let's talk about those who are doubting. Now, I've experienced and seen that doubt can be something God uses to strengthen a person's faith. This honest struggle leads to consideration of Scripture and a deeper conviction about the truth of it or some aspect of Christian truth. But also, we all know that doubt can be and often is not a doorway to going to God in deeper faith, but rather a doorway of going away from God toward unbelief. So when people are doubting, we want to be engaging them. They could have grown up in the church. They could be going through something different, difficult. What are the events? What are the experiences maybe that have precipitated this doubt? We can meet them there, minister to them there as we understand those things. If they're going away from faith, how can we engage them around the ideas that are being thrown at them, that they're starting to embrace, that are not true ideas? As one of the commentators I read said, you know, this person who's doubting, they probably don't need you to preach at them as much to sit down and have a cup of coffee and ask them some questions and try to get at what's really going on here and how can I help you and engage with you. So we engage in this ministry to those who are doubting, and we also engage in ministry to those who are stepping into judgment. They're sort of already moving toward it, that trajectory looks like, and then we need to step in as we're able with God's help. This seems to be a little stronger kind of ministry as they're moving toward unbelief, and we're not just sort of, oh, it's too bad, they're moving toward unbelief. No, we take action. We step in and minister and care in an active way. And then there are those as we minister who are others. They're so seriously stained. There seems to be a hard-heartedness here. And as long as there's still an opportunity for them to turn, we don't give up, but we're aware that sometimes it's tough. There's a strong resistance. We don't know exactly how to speak or what to say. But we're still praying for and looking for those opportunities to do so. And so we will have all these kinds of types of people as we minister to people. Family, friends, church connections, community, otherwise. Jude points us to that concern, that gospel-centered concern to look, to pray, to be in that ministry. I'd like us now to look at the actions. This is really important. Mercy is active. So we're going to be kind of looking at some things we consider in kind of two categories of action. One is the specific verb commands in the text. And what do those prompt in us? How do we define those? What might those include? And the other is the actions and attitudes in the rest of the context of the book of Jude. We don't walk away from the rest of the book as we read verses 20 and 23. We do remember the things Jude's been telling us about, because I believe that those things actually help us to understand the kinds of actions that true contending holds on to in this ministry of showing mercy. Speaking of actions, I've had a song in my head this past week. I've been studying, and I found a copy in an old hymn book. I sang it as a child. Some of you who've been around a while may remember this hymn, written by Fanny Crosby, who was a blind American hymn writer of the 1800s, literally wrote thousands of hymns. And she probably had this text of scripture in mind when she wrote the hymn, Rescue the Perishing. I'd like you to listen to some of the words. For some of you, it may remind you of the hymn. For others of you, it's like, just think about, even if the language is a bit archaic, just remember, yeah, I got to be involved in action. What actions does this prompt for me to consider as I'm looking at people who need gospel mercy? Here it is. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. Back to the narrow way. I can't read my writing here. I'm sorry. Patiently win them. There it is. Patiently win them. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Active ministry. That's what Jude is talking about. Let's look at the verbs in the text, and then we'll look at some of the attitudes and actions in the context that I think are good reminders for us. If you want to be engaged in mercy ministry, here's some things to do. Have mercy and show mercy. Mercy. That's the first verb. Mercy is the active approach to people that holds to and emphasizes the gospel is their main need. No matter what the person's situation is, the gospel is their main need. Now, we also then, we notice and wisely attend to those things happening in their life. We address the person's questions. We address the person's issues. We address the person's struggles. So the first verb is mercy. That's command in the text, and it's that active approach to people that holds to the gospel and to the needs that they have while relating wisely with compassion and patience. Secondly is save or snatch. Notice that is more, even more active, especially snatch. Snatch has a directness to it. Somebody said today something about making someone do something. Now, we probably don't want to make them literally, but almost. Snatching is pretty active, right? It's not saying, oh, whatever you want. You can do it if you want or not. I don't care. No, I really, really, really want you to do this. Snatching has that kind of approach. The approach to ministry that holds to and proclaims the gospel, but is praying and inviting and acting for a response. We're encouraging, calling for a response to turn from sin, to turn to Jesus. That's what save and snatch is. Of course, only God saves. So what we're talking about is not us doing the saving, but us proclaiming the God who saves, and we're cooperating with God by proclaiming the gospel so that others hear the gospel and turn to Jesus and receive him in true faith and return to him if they have wandered from him in true faith. Those are the actions of the text. I hope they're prompting you in some things, kind of like that hymn, like, yeah, I can do that, I should do that. Oh, that's what it would include for me in the ministry of mercy. Let's then look at the actions in the context. I think this is important. In the rest of the book of Jude. Well, at the very beginning, we have to stand firm in the faith. If you don't stand firm in the faith, none of this can happen. You don't even notice. Like, you're soon not even in the faith yourself. And to be spirit-led and energized. These are not fleshly, human-centered things. This kind of ministry of mercy only happens by the working of the Spirit. And true believers have the Spirit and are led by the Spirit. And to be spiritually sustained by and guided in prayer. I put that one in different color, because I think sometimes, like, what can I do? What can I do? Someone came to me after one of our messages earlier in this series. I was talking about some very serious things. Pastor Bruce, like, yeah, I know somebody in exactly what you describe, and what can I do? And I answered, well, one thing for sure is you hold to the truth. You never compromise the truth, and for sure you can always pray. You can pray and actively pray, and pray for God to open hearts, and pray for God to give you wisdom. And then steering toward the main thing of the gospel, the centrality and the revelation of God. We don't get sucked into divisiveness. And one thing that concerns me is when Christians become so opinionated about secondary and tertiary issues, they're having the debates in the parking lot while the people are running off the leash in need of the gospel, the main thing. Let's not get distracted by and divided by things that are not the main thing. Have your positions, great, but let's stick to what's really important. Divisiveness is driven by the flesh, not by the Spirit. And then stay mindful, I still need mercy. That I stand in need of mercy. And this sort of keeps me from becoming self-righteous, prideful, harsh in my application of mercy ministry. Seeing and hearing people. There's a story there. Always a story there. In a way that maybe in that story we can say, hey, where's the connection that I can point them to Jesus as I listen and hear? And then surrender to God who keeps you. You are kept by God for this ministry and in this ministry. And seeking Jesus and waiting for Jesus, to be so focused on him and not sort of getting so attached to the world, but keeping our perspective of trust in him. Let's look at a verse just that supports that whole bolded one of prayer. Jude chapter 1, verse 21. You, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit, letting the Spirit energize your prayers as we pray, and pray for that person. Pray for that need. Pray for the action God wants you to take. Pray for wisdom in the ministry of mercy. So vitally important. So let's look at the caution right now. The caution while showing gospel mercy. Some of you may be surprised. We are commanded here to a kind of fear. This is a command. Present tense command in the Greek text. For all of us, all the time, there's a proper kind of fear. That may surprise you. What does Jude mean by that? And there's also a kind of hate. That fear is described further as hating something when ministering to others. What is Jude getting at here? I believe he's getting at a very important caution about compromise with unbelief. Compromise in unbelief. And we are susceptible to this if mercy is applied in an unwise way without a proper caution. Somebody came into my office this week with a quote that they were sharing with me from the Charles Stanley Study Bible that said this, which I think relates well to what we're talking about, which I'm sharing it with you. Stanley said, truth without mercy leads to legalism. Certainly that harshness, like I've got it all together and you're all messed up and I don't know what your problem is. That's truth without mercy, right? But then he said, mercy without truth leads to compromise. Mercy, just sort of, hey, you know, I care about you, I love you, I'll just keep doing it, leads to compromise. And he's cautioning us here not to have a kind of mercy that isn't grounded in the truth. There's something we fear, and there's something we hate as we're engaging in gospel mercy, and especially around those who are so entrenched in unbelief and sin that there's something about what's going on there that puts us at risk if we're not careful, puts others at risk spiritually if we're not careful. We still show mercy, but mercy mixed with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. We hate sin, and we hate sin stain spreading, and this is proper for us if we're going to avoid compromise and corruption ourselves. Let's look at it. Jude warns that the manner of our mercy ministry be tempered with a proper fear and a proper hate. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Alexander Pope has a poem about vice, which he calls a frightful monster. He says, this frightful monster, first we endure, then pity, then embrace. Have you seen that progression? First we endure, then pity, then embrace. How do we stop that? Fear and hate. Fear and a proper kind of hating of sin. And I've seen that progression from first we endure, first we pity, then we embrace. In the compromise, let's just say of family members, that such and such a family member embraces something that's totally contrary to the plan of God, the word of God, and everything about God, but in a misguided kind of love and mercy, that person embraces that, and now it's their faith too. They've become compromised because of a misguided mercy. So the Bible meaning of fear here is a reverent awe of God first, but I think mainly here it's a fear of stepping into judgment. Reverent awe of God we have all the time, but now as we're moving close to this sin and unbelief situation, it's a fear of us or someone else stepping into judgment as well because of the influence of that person and their unbelief. And so, yes, we fear becoming self-righteous, Galatians 6. There's a proper kind of fear there, but we also fear becoming compromised and corrupted by the sin and unbelief of that person as we hold on to gospel grace. You know, true grace isn't twisted into an excuse for sinning. True grace is a grace that seeks Jesus and surrenders to Jesus. And there's a lot of kind of mercy and grace out there that's twisted grace, like Jude warns of in verse 4. I have a pair of gloves here I'd like to tell you about. These gloves, let's imagine this, not really true, they were used yesterday to pull poison ivy from my backyard. And all kinds of poison ivy vines on these. Anybody out there highly allergic to poison ivy? Would you like to come up and put these gloves on and rub them on your hands? So if these were actually used for poison ivy, which they weren't, I would only have them here in a bag, and you would not take them out and rub them on their hands. Why? Because you despise that poison ivy. You know that these have been stained by it, and you don't want that to pass on to you or anybody else, right? In mercy ministry, there's this same kind of reality when Jude talks about hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The word garment here is the word used for the undergarment in the ancient world. Typically, they had a cloak on the outside and this undergarment underneath. He's talking about that undergarment. So it wasn't the stain that came from the outside. It's a stain that came from the inside, from the person. And this is an image of the sin nature of that person, their flesh, in rebellion against God, influencing them in a way so that what is touched by that sin nature and its influence in them now might be something you touch and you become stained by, and you say, no, I hate that garment. I don't want to touch that and let that influence me, that corrupting nature of sin, the pull of sin. I'm acknowledging and I'm standing against it. So Jude is warning us of the manner of mercy needing to be tempered with a proper kind of fear and a proper kind of hating of the sin as we minister. And this is so important for us to remember in our ministry as well. Let's talk about our response today. Let's just kind of scoop everybody in and say, okay, where are you at with respect to mercy? Maybe some are here today that have not received gospel mercy. You've heard about Jesus. Certainly have heard about him some today, but you haven't turned to him in true faith to receive what he provided by his death on the cross. Or maybe you're here today or listening on the live stream, and you say you've believed in Jesus, but the reality is you're not with Jesus at all. You need to return to Jesus and his mercy because you've stepped into the fire of unbelief. I want to invite you. I know that God invites you. Everyone who needs gospel mercy to receive gospel mercy in repentance as you return, or for the first time as you hear and believe. He offers it, and he offers it only through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so I'm proclaiming him today, mercy in him for anyone here or anyone hearing that needs that mercy. Receive it by faith. It can be yours. And there's only one source of it, which is him. Now, if you're hearing this and you need to process these things more, I want to plug the small group meeting downstairs in room 102 today, because they're going to continue this discussion of this text and how it applies to all of us in all of our lives. But I want to also, just as we close, note that there are many here today who are believers. I'm glad you are. Who are continuing and contending. I'm praying that we all do. But let's not stop there and say, okay, I'm fine, or me and a few people close to me are fine. Let's be engaged in the ministry of gospel mercy that we're called to. Let's notice people, and let's engage in the actions of holding on to the gospel and prayerfully proclaiming, pleading, inviting a response of faith in Jesus. Are you going to look for that ministry? I'd like to ask you today just two questions as we close, and hopefully you've got an answer if you're a believer in Jesus. Was there a person or a type of person God placed on your heart during this message? If so, that's the Holy Spirit's assignment for you. I'd like to ask you, was there an action? Something maybe in just a passing, like, that, I need to do that. That's the Holy Spirit stirring your heart that you should do. I want to invite Matt and the team to come up here. I want you to hold on to your response, either in receiving mercy by personal faith in Christ, returning to Jesus because you've wandered from him, of the person that you're going to be praying for, noticing, and ministering to, of the actions of prayer and proclamation, relationship that the Holy Spirit stirred your heart with. Let's pray individually just for a minute. Then Matt and the team are going to lead us in a song that's kind of a prayer and a prayer as we close. Let's not stop at just saying, hey, that's good, I learned about mercy, but let's be engaging in the ministry. Let's pray individually before Matt and the team lead us.
Sing a chorus a couple of times, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll close the service from there. All right, so if you would stand with me, and please let's get our hearts in an attitude of prayer. this incredible day. Lord, would you this morning show us where to show mercy this week? Would you show us who around us needs to hear the message of Christ? Lord, would you show us who in our lives, in our circle, is in spiritual peril? Lord, we need you. 3.2 billion people on earth have never heard the gospel. Lord, would you use us this week? Use us this week.